This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
Good to be back. Welcome. Welcome, friends, everyone, to another special edition of the whole show. Why is it special? Because it is. It's just a special bearded, hairy version of the whole show. Glad you guys could be with us here. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. If you want to get at us on the text line, I took last week off. Normally, I take early July, late June off. That's the time, kind of the dead zone. The Rockies are well out of a playoff race at that point, so there's not a lot to talk about. But in this case, for me, if you've been following along, we moved. We moved houses. Yeah, that's how we did it. And it was a long week. Last week felt like 3 weeks. As you also know, if you follow the show, my 7-year-old son is autistic. So change is a very difficult thing for the little guy. So that was a very unique process. And he's around my wife a lot more than he is me. My wife is like his comfort zone, all that stuff. So for 3 days last week, my wife needs to be in charge of where they're placing everything. You know, for the move, because she knows my kid backwards and front. She knows exactly what, you know, I'm going to design his room the exact same way as the last place. Put the table in a position, the kitchen table in a position that's going to be perfect for him. We got like a sensory room that we turned a garage into. It's amazing, but she needs to be there because if I'm standing there telling dudes where to go, we're going to end up just moving stuff because it's not going to be right. So I've been around my kid a lot. I have not done in a long time, like 3 straight days of 8.5-ish, 9-hour days where it's just he and I. And you know what? It was great. We had a lot of fun, but he was certainly like, where's mom? What's going on? And why are all my things not here? And the movers we worked with, if you're listening, this is a free plug, so you're welcome. But SOS movers, and it's SOS because it's like quick, and they will do things specifically to how you need it done. If you need a certain room moved faster, then they'll do that for you. So we wanted to get our essentials in first. So his room, obviously our room, so we had a place to sleep, and then like his sensory room stuff that we could set up. And it was amazing. I mean, they brought like 20 people, 20 dudes are waiting outside of my house, the old house, at like 8:30 in the morning, ready to go. And then they come, they were like ants, man. Just like instant. They walk in, boom, the couch is gone. Boom, the table's gone. It was a joy to watch them work. So we got that done. We moved in. We're putting a fence around our property, our perimeter. That was a fun one. We're going to get into sports stuff, but I got to bring you into my life a little bit. We are moving to an older neighborhood. And it's great. Awesome. I've always loved it. My in-laws live nearby, and that's fantastic. I've got a neighbor, and if you're listening, mister, sorry. They're all great. They've all been great. Fantastic. But this is an older neighbor. Like, older. He's used to certain things. And when we told him we were putting a fence in, he's like, I moved out here because I like the view. And I'm like, the view of our yard? That's interesting. But he finally kind of gave in. He's not thrilled about it, but he's not that it matters. It's our property. You can put a fence up. It was approved by HOA, all that stuff. So he's fighting through it. It's a very difficult thing for him. So we're trying to be sensitive to that. But my guy that's putting the fence in, great dude, apparently ordered the right type of nails, but they are out of stock, and so these are longer nails. So when you're going through, and we're putting the flat side of the fence on our side because our child has a tendency to say, no one's looking, see you later, I'm going to go explore. So we needed to have the fence in and the gate and all that stuff to give us a little more peace of mind. So anyway, the flat side's on our side. Putting the slats together, nailing those in. Apparently the nails are sticking through on the neighbor's side, the neighbor that has an issue with this. The other neighbor that's like kind of go with the flow, whatever, well, the real nails came in. The right nails came in for his side. So my older neighbor's like, hey, Brady, come here. We got a problem. And he's like describing it to me and showing me. He's like, you see those nails? I said, yeah. He said he would come by, lop them off quickly. I don't believe that's going to happen. I said, but we're paying him to complete the fence. It's part of it. He's already said he was going to do it. So that was one of the unique confrontations so far. But my wife and my father-in-law always say this, Michael. This is good advice. Tall fences make great neighbors. So, no, seriously, they're fantastic. And I'm excited to be in the neighborhood. But boy, that was a process. Last week felt like 3 weeks. Plus, I'm doing this move in the ridiculous heat with this ridiculous hair, this ridiculous beard. You didn't think I had it in me, did you, Michael? I could grow this thick of a beard. You didn't think this could happen. You thought you were the only thick bearded faced dude here.
Well, normally I would say that I would just lie and say, no, I thought you had it in you. But you, to be honest with you, I thought you would cut it after, you know, if they didn't get to 20 wins. I thought you would just like break and say, screw this.
Okay, so you actually didn't think I would complete the bet. You didn't think I would fulfill my end of the bet.
And you've been more honorable than Tanner, because Tanner has given himself some outs.
Opportunities. He never seized any of those opportunities.
Cause yeah, because he didn't eat the 70 wings or whatever.
No, he quit. We should tack 5 games on for quitting. If you forfeit, you know.
Yeah, tack the games into next year.
Yeah, and again, people, the bet is when the Rockies get to 35 wins, this is a season bet. So if it doesn't happen, it's going to happen. But it doesn't carry over. If you bet the over for the Rockies wins and you don't get it in the season, it doesn't carry over to next season and you can tack those wins on. This is a season bet. They're going to get 5 wins. Come on. We got what? The rest of August. It's August 11th. And then we've got a good, is it almost all of September? If they can't win 5 more, Dick Monfort should absolutely sell that thing, because you're going to end the season with 30 wins. 33, 34? Come on. It's not going to get that bad. But I also think, you know, on the Rocky side of things, you can't go. Last week or 2 weeks ago, I was saying different. But I don't know if you can go with Warren Schaefer. If they do, in fact, have the historical season, and not in the good way, how can you look your fans in the face and say, yeah, you know what? We fired Bud Black. It got a little better, and then it got a little worse again. And this is historic. I don't think many people involved in the worst season ever should be involved next year. Whether you believe in them or not, whether it was their fault or not, you have to wash your hands of the entire thing. Now, obviously, it's not going to be the Monforts or the family or Walker or any of that stuff, but Schmidt and Warren Schaefer, people on that coaching staff, upper management, front office, you can't run it back next year unless they go on an epic run here, and I just don't see it. I mean, they were losing so badly, and these innings just get out of control so quickly. First Advantage text lines 888-530-0043. My Lorado whiskey poll question of the day: are you concerned at all about the Denver Broncos starting offense? And of course you are not. You look like a Bronco threw up on you. You are the biggest Broncos fan I've ever known. So, of course, you're not going to be worried.
It's preseason.
It's preseason, but sometimes preseason can tell the real story. Sometimes. Not all the times, but sometimes it can.
You remember a few preseasons ago when, you know, Teddy Bridgewater looked amazing and the offense was, like, awesome. And remember when Drew Lock was awesome the preseason? We were like, he's the future. Oh, man, our quarterbacks are great. And then where are those quarterbacks?
They're still in the league, just backups. I guess because Teddy's back, right? Isn't he with Tampa Bay? But listen, there are things you can take from the preseason, and you can get really high on someone or really low on someone, and sometimes that's exactly who they are in the once the regular season hits. But how many possessions did Bo go? Was it three? And then they finally got the field goal in the last one. He got the safety, which was rough. First sight, I was like, it was close, and he didn't have a lot of options. But if he stays in that pocket, finds Troy Franklin, that's a big play. Instead, he didn't stay long enough. He took off and ran to the left, and you got a safety. But I have never been a guy to view preseason as, whether it's great or awful, as a precursor to what the regular season's going to be. You know, Cortland Sutton dropped a pass. That would have been a big gain.
I wouldn't actually call that a drop. Like, I would...
It wasn't...
I'd say that was that was something he could have caught,
yeah.
But that was a bad enough throw by Bo.
Right, but you do want guy you just spent a lot of money on to quickly make everybody feel good about that. Because what that contract means... This is why I always... I've talked about this with the Michael Porter Jr. thing for so long. It ain't my money. I don't care. If the owners can afford it, great. I don't care. But what that contract does is it keeps you from paying other guys that need to be paid. And we know Nick Benito needs to be paid. And I'm still curious as to why they went with Cortland Sutton over Nick Benito first, unless they're so confident they were going to get them both, Zach Allen included, that it just didn't matter. Because Nick Benito is the real freaking deal. He is a monster. But just like you said, with preseason, you can't look at that game and go, wow, is Nick Benito the next Von Miller? No, but you can look back at last year, and then you tack on this little measly preseason game to it and say, he looks the same. Offenses, especially, are just not going to show you as much. And you almost want them to get mistakes early on. Let me ask you this. Shedeur Sanders. I had a lot of fun confrontation about that over the weekend. Does that game mean he is now the starter for the Browns? And he is going to be the second coming of Tom Brady with legs? Kind of. He's not extremely fast, but he can move much better than Tom Brady. No. What I'll say about Shedeur Sanders, and I want to get to that because I'm kind of recapping a lot of what I missed. He's a good quarterback. And every time there's doubt, even on my part, I am typically proven wrong. I didn't like his entrance. I said it was weird. Did you see his entrance to the stadium? He's got a teammate apparently holding a boombox up. It's Shador's song, and he's coming in. He's got a guy like hyping him up, and I thought it was weird. That's all I said. Could be perceived as a little cocky. Wow, the Prime fans have converted to Shedeur Cleveland Browns fans. It's a fascinating study. To see that the Sanders family has a fan base unlike any fan base I've ever seen.
And so, even worse than Tebow? Because Tebow had kind of that same thing, only like he was different. Like it was a different approach,
yes.
But the fans were still weird.
This is weird because everything's racist with this group. I said it was a weird entrance. And what I was told was that I was trying to keep a black person down from not being himself. I don't understand. That just doesn't enter my brain. I watch sports. I see them as players. I don't see it as anything else. I never have, and I never will. And that is where the difference, because I do, that's a good comparison. The Tebow fan base was crazy. They went after you in different ways. And then they would say, God bless at the end. but Shedeur Sanders fans, Deion Sanders fans, are just like nasty and mean and cruel. And then when they're not really, like, someone had asked me, like, why was his entrance weird? I said, I don't know. Have you seen any other rookie quarterback do that? Did Bo Nix do that last year? Did he have Cortland Sutton walking down with him, holding the boombox, while Bo Nix is like, I'm entering the league, here I go. No. So when I say it's weird, it's because we don't see it. It's weird to me. You haven't done anything. So that's weird. And I was told that Bell, basically, you don't want him to be himself. You can't have an opinion. And these are people that don't listen to sports talk. They don't read opinionated articles. Their idea of sports talk is they want to listen to a show where it's this. Shedeur Sanders is amazing, and even when he's bad, he's still good. That's not real radio. That's not real takes. That's what makes this industry go round, is sports radio and news outlets and that kind of thing. So the idea that you can't have an opinion just because suddenly it involves Shedeur Sanders is insane to me. But yes, the following for Shedeur, and I know I offshoot it over to Shedeur, but we're talking about preseason. Does this mean that Shedeur Sanders is the man? No. What it means is he's answered yet another call. And Big Hub texting us says, welcome back. Thank you, my friend. It's good to be back. The Panthers suck. He did look good, but I wouldn't say he's ready to start against the Eagles. He had a really good throw that kind of looked like that one he had against, was it Baylor, when he got hit and he completed that hail. It wasn't a Hail Mary. It was a design throw, and it was beautiful. And this play, he didn't get hit, but it was a throw like that across his body on the run. It was a beautiful throw. And you got to make that. You got a corner on you. They're fast. Fourth-string cornerbacks could be just as fast as a first-string cornerback. Guy's right on him. He has to put that ball exactly where it needs to be. I just think that that's a good sign for him. But if I'm Cleveland, I'm not saying Shedeur Sanders is the starting quarterback today.
Absolutely not. I mean, you could make that same argument with Bo Nix. You're like, hey, he had a terrible game. Like he missed Cortland Sutton. You throw the ball 1 yard further in the end zone, that's a touchdown, instead of Cortland Sutton having to play defense.
Yeah.
Like, is Bo Nix this bad? Is Shedeur Sanders this good? Or are we talking about, you know, just a bad game in the preseason where they're not showing the entire offense and it's the first game for everybody?
Well, and I didn't think Bo was necessarily bad. I mean,
he wasn't great.
The safety was pretty bad. Especially if you go back and watch it on replay. Over.
He was inaccurate, his throws, though.
And I don't know how accurate he is. Like, he was all right last year. But what makes him stand out is not the speed like of Lamar Jackson, but his ability to move around in the pocket. He moves around, he steps up into throws. He has that ability. I don't know. Yeah, he had that one. Was that to Troy Franklin or Marvin Mims that perfect throw he had when they were backed up on their like own three? I don't remember who that was against. He has accuracy abilities. He can be pretty accurate, but I don't think that I'm looking at him going, what's his number one attribute that's going to make him great in the league? I wouldn't say he's the most accurate. I wouldn't say he's the least accurate. What I see is a guy that's pretty comfortable, smart, yes, steps up into the pocket, moves around, manipulates the pocket. That's what I've seen from him for the most part. And maybe you just didn't have as many opportunities for that. You're forcing things that you don't normally force. It is preseason, and I know we're going to say that 1,500 more times before the season starts, but we do this every single year. You know, Jarrett Stidham looked really good, Michael. But how long has Jarrett Stidham been in the league? He's been with the Broncos for what? This is his third year? So why isn't he a starting quarterback? If he was 14 of 15 for 136 yards and 2 touchdowns. Oh, 144 rating. Lock him up. I just can't get excited about preseason. I get excited because it's football and it's a chance to evaluate, like get a chance to watch guys like RJ Harvey, that kind of thing. But I don't care about the results. 30-9 does nothing for me. It could have been 30-9 San Francisco. And I still wouldn't have freaked out. A little concern. There's like a slight part of my brain that goes, is not having an elite receiver, because I don't think Cortland Sutton is elite, is not having a second kind of thought of receiver, is that a concern? Those were concerns I had before the preseason, and that's not going away.
The only time I find something like very disconcerting is if you have a running back who's fumbling the ball in the preseason, yes, or a run, wide receiver
blown
who's
coverage,
dropping the ball, or if your quarterback is just so horrible in the preseason. And you don't see quarterbacks really that terrible unless they're like fourth string quarterbacks and they just, you know, they're fighting just to be on the practice squad. Like, you're not, preseason is just warm up for a lot of players and to decide who's going to make the running back position.
Yes, it's the obvious things that you don't like: fumbling the football, not making receptions, blown coverage, corners don't know where they're supposed to be, safeties don't know where they're supposed to be, those kind of things, missed tackles. The Bo Nix with the safety happens to the greatest quarterbacks. You don't think Tom Brady has missed a wide open guy before because he's looking one way and he's got a guy? That happens. I'm not comparing Bo Nix to Tom Brady. I'm just saying that does happen. Snaps the ball. He's worried about the protection. He even talked about that. And so he, pretty quickly into the play, rolls to his left. And he had Troy Franklin dragging across. It was a beautiful play design. It's a little chip block by Franklin, and then he lets it go and then goes across. Great play design. Bo just didn't let it develop and instead took off. He didn't do a lot of that last year. So am I concerned? No, it's preseason. That's what I would say to that. But there are some that are on my X account on the poll that we put up, the Lorado Whiskey Poll question of the day. Are you concerned at all about the first string offense for the Denver Broncos? Michael, let's get to the good, the bad, and the ugly, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more, go to fmsbank.com/KFKA. You know what the good is for me? You know what's happening tonight at 5 o'clock? I love that we do this. Bruce Dick just does a phenomenal job. We got our high school football training camp coverage. Nobody's doing this. Bruce is going to go out, what is it, Dayspring Christian tonight at 5 o'clock. He's going to be out on site on the practice field. You're going to hear the whistles and the pads and the running and the yelling and all of it. He's going to be there previewing for what? 16 different teams throughout Northern Colorado every weekday. We're probably going to bleed into the actual season, but this is a chance to learn about these players and these coaches and these teams. I love it. That's my good. The bad for me was the safety play, the safety from Bo Nix, but I'm not freaking out about it. It was bad, and the ugly is, can it get any uglier for the Colorado Rockies? I mean, I was riding pretty high when I went away, did my last show on Friday 2 weeks ago or a week and a half ago. I was like, okay, we're going to get to five. We'll be at five wins before I'm done moving. Because they beat Pittsburgh in that series, had some crazy, that comeback win they had on Friday night, August 1st. But then the Toronto series happened. They were outscored. What was that? 45-6 in three games. Toronto, first game, 15-1. Second game, 10-4. Third game, 20-1. 45-6 in three games. And then Arizona, you lose 6-1, 6-5. Then last night, close game until it wasn't, 13-6. That's very ugly. 29 minutes after the hour. Michael, we'll take a break here. Let's get into the Broncos, Bo Nix a little bit more. Sean Payton's comments. There are 14 notes that Sean Payton has written down, and it's not just about the players on the field. What is Sean Payton looking for from players, staff, everything else? He was not happy, but he's still pretty high on this football team. So we'll get to some of that. CSU stuff, Mountain West, Pac-12. That is heating up. Mountain West not paying the exiting teams what they're due? More on that coming up next.
Bring out your dates.
Here's one
What's next for the Colorado Rockies?
I'm getting better.
No, you're not. You'll be stone dead in a moment.
Keep it on Northern Colorado's home for Rockies games and discussions.
I feel fine.
103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling like rising before the sun and finishing your day after it sets. Like lending a hand to the neighbors who need it. Like finally putting your feet up after all the hours you put in. Our state was forged by passion and determination, and we serve the people behind it. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Tell you guys about Renaissance Insurance Group in Windsor. Ryan Hicks, that is the name. Give him a call. If you're in, you got insurance. I know you're listening, you got your stuff, whatever, but you're not happy with it. You're not happy with the rates, you're not happy with the customer service you're getting, or maybe you just don't have this particular type of insurance. Renaissance Insurance will walk you through everything. They specialize in risk management, commercial, personal insurance needs for Weldon, Larimer County. They're also the go-to for workers' compensation and farming operations. Don't lose what you've been working so hard for. Call Ryan at Renaissance Insurance, 970-674-8825. Tanner sent me this. I know the fellows went over it this morning on Good Morning NoCo from The Athletic. Six GMs, six assistant GMs, six former GMs, five other execs, eight head coaches, and 19 other coaches, including 15 coordinators, comprise a 50-person panel, and it was to tier every veteran quarterback in the NFL. And this is just kind of going back to where Bo Nix sits at this point. And according to this 50-person panel, which has apparently got a lot of football-savvy people, they have apparently they have 34 tiers. That's too many tiers. Dude, that's too many. You got four tiers. I got four. I do my four tiers, and that's coming out soon. They have Bo Nix and the the 20th tier. So they've got Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow in tier one, Allen Jackson, Stafford tier. I guess they're tiers on their own? Or are these? I don't understand this slot. Oh, okay, never mind. It's not 34. They're just ranking it. That's dumb. They have it just ranked, but they color-coded it, which is stupid. And they got five tiers is too many. Bo Nix is at 20th. So the 20th best quarterback or worst quarterback, I don't know, in the league. Behind Geno Smith. He hasn't earned it yet. No problem with that. Big Hub said, you missed so much last week. I thought you would have done a special show just to speak on everything. No, because I don't want to. I mean, again, all the stuff that happened last week, I'm going to be talking about. CSU had a Ring of Fame, a Ring of Honor thing coming out. Mountain West Pac-12 still going at it. There's a new wrinkle to the lawsuit. I mean, we want to move along. We don't want to, like, go too far back. I was out last week. That's on me. So I'm not going to do what I should have been doing last week and bring it to today's show because it's old news already. But, yeah, we'll recap some of it because it's still relevant right now. Texter from Go Pokes, these tears are driving me to tears. Well, wait till you see mine. Four tears. I've got the four tears. That's it. Because the four-tier system forces you to make a real decision. You can't like have eight dudes, you know, or eight different tiers. I saw one the other day that was like seven tiers. Yeah, it's four. Pretty much goes from, in my mind, like the best. Second is good, not great. You know, kind of see what happens. Third is consider your options. And then fourth is like, you're either a rookie or you're bad. Rookies always go into Tier 4. Just the rule. So be ready, Shedeur Sanders fans. If he becomes the starting quarterback, and I only do it on starters, if he becomes the starting quarterback for the Browns, he will be automatically in Tier 4. It's just the way it is. No disrespect. Bo Nix was in Tier 4 last year. I'm a Broncos fan, so give me a break. 38 minutes after the hour, let's talk about Sean Payton and what he had to say about the team's performance. Also coming up in the 12 o'clock hour, we will have Zach Stevens from DNVR Broncos join us. He's our Broncos insider. Get his thoughts on the preseason game number one for the Denver Broncos. All that coming up, plus Colorado State stuff. Top stories of the day. The Savannah Bananas were in town, too. Not this town, but Denver. They were in the state. A couple of familiar faces performed. I say performed because that's what it is. It's WWE. But it's fun. It's entertaining. But a couple of former Rockies were in the mix, and we'll talk about that coming up a little bit later on. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
It's Jerry Schimmel, the voice of the Colorado Rockies and formerly voice of the UNC Bears, and you're listening to the whole show.
All right, so got my game beer of the week here from On the Rocks Liquor. It's already that time of year. We're already doing the Oktoberfest stuff. It's great. It's my I love Oktoberfest beers. I like pumpkin beer too, but just the seasonal. Yeah, I'm into all that. I'm into it. Oktoberfest beer. This one is from Breckenridge Brewing, and it's just their Breckenridge Oktoberfest. Celebrate the Broncos dub with this timeless lager. Get your six-pack today at On the Rocks Liquor.
They also sell Mountain Dew.
Okay. What? Who cares? Did that need to be said?
Yes, it did.
I mean, most places that have liquid in them sell Mountain Dew. So, I guess go by also and grab your Mountain Dew.
Indeed, yes.
Go there. Okay. Thanks, Mike. Dynamite drop in by you. That's On the Rocks Liquor, half a mile south of Highway 34 on 47th Avenue. Make your next celebration On the Rocks. This is only show two for us, Michael. We did one show together, and then I'm off for a week. Did you think that I wasn't coming back? Because Friday was pretty terrible. That 1st of August was pretty bad.
I was like, oh, Brady's going to come back. He's going to come back for more. He's a big fan of me.
Oh, yes. I am. I am that.
That big. Third hour was a little wacky, though.
Yeah, because we brought Tanner and Derbs in here, and I usually have a pretty structured show. I don't know what we talked about. Probably cows and barn raising or something. Whatever Tanner was thinking about that day, which is typically cows and barn raising.
Yeah, and you taught him what electricity is.
Yeah, I guess they're having Wi-Fi issues out there, too. So on top of not having a TV and having to milk the cows every morning, it's a tough life out there.
Did you tell him to put some aluminum foil on his antenna?
I did not get there. But what I want, aluminum foil, like how, you know, conspiracy theory, all this stuff, ooh, Broncos offense is going to be bad. I'm just not going there. But there were certainly things that are a little concerning. I mean, Sean Payton was not thrilled. He said, on the first team offense, he said, I don't know if they felt like the other day they got the work in, but nonetheless, it was just average to below average what I saw. I mean, Denver went 0-4 on third down, had some pretty ugly stuff going on. And, the Courtland Sutton one, you can say he dropped it, you can say it wasn't the best throw. I thought it was a decent throw. It was down the left sideline. Look like something Courtland Sutton could bring down. If that gets complete, then you have a long, you probably start getting more confidence, all that stuff, whatever. The intentional grounding penalty that led to the safety. RJ Harvey, who was listed as like fourth on the depth chart, which I didn't even think was a thing because he's a rookie. This is why when I do my quarterback tiers, your rookies are automatically at the bottom of the barrel. Does look like it's, I think it's going to be R.J. Harvey that starts. I don't think it matters because J.K. Dobbins will be getting just as many reps. So, I mean, he had 7 carries for 25 yards. I just don't know that you're seeing the deep into the playbook. This is a lot of straight up stuff, and that usually, I'm surprised the over hit, because I mean, usually they say when training camp starts, the defense is ahead, because offensively it just takes more time to get the terminology and all that stuff down. But then you start seeing the second stringers and the third stringers, and that's just a crapshoot. You don't really know. But Sean Payton was furious, it sounded like. I mean, as furious as like a calm and somewhat collected dude can be. He also said there's a handful of these things that have to be cleaned up, like tomorrow. It's not just the players. This is the first road trip for us. I've got 14 things written down that I'm ticked off about that have nothing to do with the game. That's part of the debrief, too. The willingness of the player, employee, all of us to accept and make those corrections are important. It's a no-nonsense guy. And he is the complete opposite of what Denver dealt with for not even one full season with Nathaniel Hackett. I mean, he is, bam, who knows what these are? 14 things written down. Maybe Zach will know. But I like it because attention to detail with everyone. You remember when the Nuggets had head coach Brian Shaw, and they had their plane, and Shaw got off the plane last, and he saw how much of a mess it was, and he made the players come back and clean it. That was weird. I don't know what side you're on that, but that was weird. Sean Payton's not going to even let it get to that point. Like, he's not going to come at you and say, oh, you messed up the plane. Go back and clean it up. No, everybody on there knows not to. He's already establishing those ground rules, and so he's strict. And I think that's part of why you're seeing the Broncos on the rise right now. And I 100% believe that. Now, he's pretty high on this team. He thinks maybe this is going to be like maybe a Super Bowl type of team. Where are you guys on that? 11:50 the time. They did run the ball better. Go Pokes text in on that. So they did run the ball well. I like the run game. That's still like that was something they needed to get fixed. They got it. Evan Engram, I think he's going to end up being great. Who's the number two receiver? Who's that other guy that's going to go with Courtland Sutton? 11:50 the time. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We'll wrap up hour number one. Zach Stevens from DNVR Broncos will join me. In the 12 o'clock hour, also more on Colorado State. Tons of things to get to. Don't you dare go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Learn all about Day Spring Christian football tonight at 5 on KFKA. Presented by Blackjack Pizza.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Time was drifting, this rocket got to roll. So I hit the road and made my getaway.
Colorado State in the news, local news over the last week for a couple of reasons. You know, the fun one, like the sports one, like just on the field or recognizing people that were on the field, on the court, whatever. Colorado State unveils Ring of Honor to celebrate Rams legends. And I love this kind of stuff. I think this is the easiest thing. Like, why did it take John Weber to come in and establish a Ring of Honor Hall of Fame? Every program, every team needs to have something because it drives debate, too, and it brings conversation up around your program, around your team. But here's the group of 7 that will make up the first set of Ring of Honor members. I mean, number one, former CSU football coach, Sonny Lubick. Duh. Joey Porter. No, what? Are you serious? Or are you just trying to be argumentative?
I'm being argumentative.
Because he was a Pittsburgh
argumentative
Steeler.
Shaking my head, and I hate the Steelers, so.
Yeah. He was a great Steeler, and he was a great Ram. Bradley Van Pelt. Yeah. A big name. He didn't make it. He played for the Broncos for a second. Cup of coffee. And that was
pre-season.
Kind of it. Preseason. It was kind of it for him. Al Bubba Baker. Angela Knopf, volleyball player. Amy Van Dyken, Ruin. Yeah. Swimmer, Olympian.
Married to Tom Ruin.
Yeah. Men's basketball player Jason Smith. Grew up, went to school in Kersey, Colorado. So there's the seven players that are going to be in the Ring of Fame. Curious, like, where's it going to go? Is it going to, like, is this a canvas thing? But it's not all football players. Or is this just going to go in, like, their Hall of Champions? I'll ask. Wednesday is the CSU football media day. Rockies are playing in the middle of the day, so we got that. I'm going to go check that out. Check out a scrimmage. I missed last week, so see the second scrimmage for CSU and take in some Colorado State media day. So we'll have that. I'm going to try to get out to UNC Bears practice on Friday morning, too. I've been out of the loop. It feels like I've been out of the loop for a while. I got to plug back in. Let's plug back in as the whole show continues. 12 o'clock hour. We got the top stories of the day. What's going on with the UFC? Zach Stevens joining me. Shadur Sanders talk. All that and more coming up next.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.